And we've got our final hour of open lines here for you on Coast to Coast AM. You know what I was doing last month, beyond belief, our taping in the Boulder, Colorado area. We were doing it on spontaneous human combustion. And Tom had this great idea to put me in a suit and douse me and flip a match on me. And I'd go up in flames. Now, he was going to have the Boulder or the Lewiston Fire Department there, making sure everything was okay, everything would work. And I looked at him and said, "Are you crazy?" This is the same guy, folks, a year ago, wanted a tiger to come into the studio. Now, you saw what happened to Siegfried and Roy, right? And I'm not a lion or tiger trainer by any means. He wanted a live tiger on the set with one guy. Everybody else was going to leave, by the way. They were going to lock this thing in, and I'd be in there with this one guest and the tiger. And I said, "Tom, that's not going to happen either." I mean, so he's got me at peril for all these things. But the spontaneous human combustion show is one heck of a program. But there is no way. And the fire department refused to do it, too, by the way. They were smart enough to know, look, we're not going to douse this guy with gasoline and throw a match at him just to show what spontaneous human combustion is. Unbelievable. Anyways, we'll come back in a moment. We'll take your calls. This hour is going to fly by. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. And here we go to Annie in Alabama. Hello, Annie.
Thank you, George.
You're welcome.
I pray for Bill. I love Bill. I wish everybody pray for Bill. And I'm calling about the fact that coronal mass ejections and electromagnetic pulses always has been and probably always will be. And that is why we should pass more than one law, not only requiring that the grid be fully insulated, but that's just not enough to prevent millions of people from being stranded in their vehicles and aircraft, George.
You're right.
It's not enough to prevent the individual central processing units from being destroyed in vehicles, aircraft, gas pumps, cash registers, and computers. So that's why the law needs to require that these be manufactured, first of all, with insulation for CPUs, and that's not enough. The law needs to require fail-safe mechanisms in gas pumps, registers, aircraft, vehicles, and computers.
Annie, you just called me a few days ago with the same thing.
People didn't get it. People are still not getting it.
You wanted me to put a hand crank in a plane. I'm the one who's going to be the guy pumping.
People are still not getting it. They don't understand.
Well, give them time. It was only 2 days.
People don't understand that insulating the grid is not going to be enough. These things are not on the grid.
Annie, but you need to give time to people to digest this stuff.
They don't understand that most of these things are not even on the grid. These aircraft and these cars.
No, they understand it. You've said it enough.
They don't understand it. They think that everything's going to be all right. These need to be manufactured by law with fail-safe mechanisms and analog wiring harness for a backup. I can't understand. I'd never build anything without a backup.
I know, Annie, but you just said that 2 days ago.
Well, people just don't understand it. Businesses should not be allowed to sell food, gas, or medicine unless they've got a backup cash register that will work.
Now, are you going to call in 2 days with the same thing?
I'll keep on harping just like preachers will keep preaching until the end of time.
You need to bombard your congresspeople and senators and
they're listening.
And
a
get
lot
this
of them are
done.
Listening, George.
I know, but you need to bombard them. Call them. Email them. Fax them.
A lot of them are listening. These gas stations need to have backup hand pumps.
If the grid's protected, though.
That's not going to have anything to do with this. These registers and pumps are going to go out because they have central processing units.
Not all of them. Not all of them. But if the grid goes, it doesn't matter what the pumps have.
Oh, they can operate without any grid.
Do you know what the lines would be if the power goes out?
Well, it happened during Hurricane Sandy, and there was a man that ran a gas station, and he pumped gas by hand all day and all night.
Until he probably collapsed,
right? If he had the right pump, it could have gone 10 times faster And
All right,
all
now
these
space.
plants need to
All
have
right,
a
look,
backup on
you're a
hand.
great caller, but space this out because people are beginning to think this is deja vu or a repeat. We're live. It's not a repeat. Tom, you got another text for me? What do you got?
Sure do. This one's from Janelle in Wisconsin. I just saw a movie called The Core. Have you seen it?
I saw The Core some time ago. Right?
I know your show. I'm sure you've seen it, right?
Yeah, that was where they got into this incredible machine because they needed to start the core to start rotating again.
The machine was called Virgil.
Yep.
So,
it's a great movie.
Janelle says, I know your show deals with this kind of topic, and I wanted to know if you think this could ever really happen.
God, I hope not. I hope that was just Hollywood. But you know what? It might be based on some real science.
That'd be terrible.
I mean, if there is a core, a molten core in the planet that creates the magnetic field, and it is moving. It's
spinning.
But it's
the inner core, which means it's deeper.
It's spinning around like crazy. And if it stopped, God knows what would happen to us.
Between that and the grid.
So, you know, you have an assignment here. You know, Annie is, she's a nice woman and a nice caller, but you're going to have to tell her to stay on track here with different topics. You can't call every other day with the same thing.
But she doesn't always say the same thing. That's what you don't take into account.
Did she trick you?
I always get tricked.
Well, don't get tricked. Let's go to Kathy in Wisconsin. Hey, Kath, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my
call. Sure thing. My pleasure.
This is kind of a ghost story. A couple of years ago, you had Mark Anthony on.
Yes.
And I made an appointment with him. It took a few weeks. And on their website, it says to think of three questions. Don't tell anybody. Just think of the questions. And that will verify your reading if he answers your question.
Okay.
I honestly, I've never told anybody. I'm telling you, and we're going to pretend it's just us.
All right.
Just I us. Said for my third question, if that Jody Arias, the guy she murdered, Alexander, if he would come and say something to me, I would know that Mark Anthony is real.
All right. How did you pick that subject?
Because it was so off the wall. I wanted an answer to a question that there's no way you would even guess.
No, nobody would guess that.
Exactly. So I had my reading, and right toward the end, he never said anything, but he goes, wait a minute. He says, honestly, he said, this has not happened very often. He said, just this guy is bursting in, and he's saying, you didn't think I'd show up, did you? And that's what he told me. Ever since then, and this has been about a year and a half, periodically, Travis will show up.
Hmm.
And about 10 days ago, he showed up, and he said, oh, it's a matter of time. And I said to myself, did I just hear that? And I don't see him. I just think that that's who that is.
That's remarkable. Well, it's, you know, Mark Anthony, I think he's the real deal.
Well, on the radio, I don't even know, the radio wasn't even on, you know, but on the radio, it was, something happened to Jody Arias. He said, I told you, it's a matter of time.
That's something. Okay.
Hey, isn't that weird?
Let me ask you a question. Do you have a true confession that you would love to tell people you did something, but you've never told anybody before?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, kind of sneaky one.
Well, what did you do?
I gave people vitamin E pills and told them that they were drugs.
No.
Yes, and they were tripping. Like, I'm thinking, you are drinking Pepsi and eating vitamin E, you idiot.
Were they paying you for this?
No. It's high school.
Oh, high school stuff. Well, you know what? At least you did something where nobody got hurt.
Oh, no, I wouldn't hurt nobody.
Can't get hurt with a vitamin E pill.
No, I just thought it was funny, but I...
And then they would freak out?
Oh, they were tripping, watching. They were waving their hands in front
it's
of their
like the,
like
it's the placebo effect.
I think so.
All right. Hey, thanks. Hi. Hey, here's a confession from Prescott, Arizona. Carrie Ann is going to there use her name. Go ahead, Carrie Ann. What happened?
Hi, Mr. George.
Hello.
So when I was a kid,
I used my dad's old military footlocker as a toy chest.
Okay.
Yeah, one day one of my friends was over playing and she was annoying me. So I lured her into the footlocker by telling her it was a fun new game, slammed the lid down, locked her in, and ran outside to play with my other friends.
Oh my God, she must have been freaking out.
Oh, she was. She was screaming. She was screaming and crying.
Oh
and...
my God. To this day, she's probably claustrophobic.
She doesn't remember it.
She doesn't?
Nope. She doesn't remember it at all.
Now, you know, she could have suffocated in that thing.
Well, I was six. I didn't know that.
No, I know, but that would have been horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. So when you were done playing, you came back and unlocked it and let her out?
Oh, no. One of our parents heard her and came and let her out.
All right. Thanks for sharing that with us. That's a true confession. No doubt. Let's go to Lori in Modesto, California, west of the Rockies. Hello, Lori. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, what it is with me, I was in military years ago.
What branch?
Crazy Marine Corps. Best of all.
Good for you.
To get away from California. What do I do? Come right back.
Yep.
But anyway, while I was stationed back east, we were out marching one day. I fell, hit my head on concrete. And with doing so, I had blacked out. I was over at the side whenever I came to. Sergeant was yelling like mad, like they always did, to make us listen.
Oh, yeah. They know what to do. Those drill sergeants are one of a kind.
Anyway, right afterwards, they started sending me to doctors. And I couldn't figure out why, naturally. But right afterwards, I got out of military. Could not get a medical because doctors said there was nothing wrong. I've seen doctors for years, and apparently no doctor believes this. But I black out mentally, but not physically. I was out once for over a month. Even saw a doctor.
Wow.
And he didn't even know I was out. So what I'm trying to do is find a doctor who's ever heard of this even, who will believe it and try their darndest to find out what it is I've got.
And it's still happening.
Yes, it happened again in June.
For how long?
This time I was only out, well, I was probably out for about a week or two.
A week or two, but you're still functioning.
This time I was functioning partway, but not all. I remember getting sick at my home. I remember taking off to go over to the hospital.
I mean, who's eating? Are you eating? Who's taking care of you?
While I'm out, I take care of myself, apparently.
Wow.
I was with my children this years ago, but this time I was not with my children. I was by myself.
And you're just totally oblivious of everything for a week.
Well, when I checked, I'm supposed to have checked into emergency. They let me go, did not know I was out. So apparently I can...
You look normal, I guess.
I guess so.
And you talk, obviously.
Yes.
You eat. You drive. Do you drive yourself?
No way. Not this way. Uh-huh.
You don't do that. And then when you come back, when you realize it's you again,
mm-hmm.
How does that happen? Is it when you... Do you wake up from a deep sleep? Are you walking around? What happens to bring you back?
When I was in the hospital in June at the emergency, they had released me. Apparently, I came home, and about 2 weeks, I believe it was, after that, maybe a week, I was down at another place walking around, was sitting down when I came to, and this lady comes up and asks me, "Are you okay?" And I remember telling her, "Yeah, I'm okay." But then she called police. They came over, saw me, and then I blacked out again.
Jeez. Have you ever had a brain scan or an MRI?
I've had brain surgery even because I came down with epilepsy. They found that out immediately after my husband and I got out.
But when they look at you, how do your scans look now? I mean, everything seems to be okay?
Apparently okay while I'm around doctors. One doctor saw me while I was out, and he said he'd never seen anything like this before.
I've never heard of anything like this before.
Really?
No, not people blacking out and still functioning for weeks.
Well, people have definitely stated it's a put-on, but it's not.
No, you're not putting people on. Let me ask you this strange question. Do you lose or gain weight when you kind of come back and revive yourself?
I have lost weight at times, yes, and gained weight back.
That would tell you whether you're eating or eating a lot in that state. Yeah, let us know what happens to you. That's bizarre. Next up, we go to South Carolina. It's Jason's turn. Jason, hi there.
Hey, how are you?
I talked
to you last week. I'm originally from Pennsylvania. I like living here, and I must say that the music you play in the interim is really good.
Well, thank
you. Appreciate it.
some of those old classics you don't hear anymore.
Oh man, most of the music today is terrible. It really is.
Yeah, I like Taylor Swift. I think she's good.
Yeah,
Sam Smith's pretty good too. Yeah.
How about Daft Punk, which is like, you ever hear of them?
No, not really.
Well, they're like, they have Sheik's Nile Rodgers in it from the 70s. They decided to go from techno back to disco. You never hear the song Get Lucky?
Yeah, that's theirs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Daft Punk, yeah, which is good. I like classic rock, R&B. Funk, disco.
You've heard of John Fogerty, right?
Techno, because it sounds like it just comes out of a machine.
Yeah, that's for like a disco. You've heard of John Fogerty, right?
Yeah.
He's a dear friend of ours. He's going to be on in a couple weeks.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's good. And then Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, they're good buddies of ours.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so make sure you're listening. You'll have fun with
them. Okay, well, getting to what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I really believe that ghosts and UFOs exist. Now, I have a friend that's a skeptic, and he said he doesn't believe in it. And I said, well, why is that? He says, well, I don't think UFOs exist because Einstein said that if you go 30,000 miles at the speed of light, it would take 30,000 years to get to the nearest star.
What was that other
so
voice?
My theory is, we live in a world with three dimensions. You know, a line is one, square is two, a cube is three. These aliens might be so advanced.
What is it?
Might be so advanced.
Are you there? Can
they
you
might
hear
live
me?
In 50 dimensions that we
well,
can't.
They might. What's that sound in the background, though?
Oh, that's my radio. I'm the security guard.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, we might live, they might be so advanced that they could get from point A to point B so rapidly.
Oh, of
you
course.
Know what I mean?
They might have
50 dimensions. Our little primitive world of three dimensions might be nothing to them.
This is how they're traveling. They're bending space and time where it's instantaneous. There's no travel. There's no propulsion. They are literally, they've got machinery, craft that can travel through space and time instantly. That is the only way, if we're being visited, and I think we are too, it's the only way that they would be able to travel. There is no other way that they would be able to get from here to there, there to here. It just couldn't happen. It would take zillions of years. They're bending space and time. It's like you opening up a door, going through it, there you are. We're coming back with more open line calls in a moment. And I invite all of you to become members of the Beyond Belief fan club. That's right. You can watch all the television shows we've done over the past 3 years, plus the entire library of the network. And you have an introductory 99 cents for a month to do it, to see what you really like. Just go to beyondbelief.com. That's the website. Look at all the shows. Watch out for Cosmic Disclosure, Corey Good, talking about a secret space program that will knock your socks off. BeyondBelief.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Dory with you. And so we're going to tape our Beyond Belief shows next week, and then I'm going to head to St. Louis for a couple weeks to see the kids. And then we'll be back here. I've got an event in Laughlin, Nevada, coming up in a couple weeks, and that's in November. And then back for Thanksgiving, and then we're going to be into Christmas. By the way, live programs for you on Thanksgiving night and on Christmas Eve, Christmas night, New Year's Eve, New Year's night as well. And then we start 2016. Can you believe that? How fast this is going. Fastest year ever. Ever. Jerry's truck driving in Ohio. Jerry, do you find this to be a fast year too?
Yes, sir. It sure has been, yeah, believe it or not.
My gosh.
Anyway, you're from Detroit, right?
I sure am. Born and raised.
Okay. You know where Southfield Road and Schoolcraft Road there, right?
Yep, I do.
Okay. You know you can see the airport from that area, right?
No, you can't see the airport from there.
Well, you can see the airplanes going up and down.
You can
right?
see the planes, but the airport's in Romulus, Michigan. That's quite a poke away.
Yeah, but you can see the airplanes.
Oh, anyway, yeah.
Me and a couple drivers, we were sitting out there, you know, shooting the breeze and everything. We happened to look up in the sky and seen this red light, and it was going real slow. At first, we thought it was a slow-moving airplane. But when it got closer to us, we noticed it was a triangle. And the time we got our phones out to take pictures and video, it shot off.
Wow.
Wow. And I was like, that's crazy. And everybody said, oh, it's just one of those military planes. I'm like, no, dude, that's too close to the airport to be having military planes. So that's the reason why I was wanted to.
Gosh, I wish you would have been able to capture it on video. That would have been so great.
Yeah, but it was dark time, so we couldn't see it, because the one guy did have it, but you couldn't see nothing at all. It was pitch black on his phone, and even the little red flags the little red lights didn't even show up.
You got one of the neatest laughs I've ever heard, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It's infectious.
Oh, is it? Okay, I never heard that one before.
Yeah, it is. Can you laugh anytime you want?
George, or what? So anyway, but no, I just thought I wanted to ask you that, because I mean, it was kind of funny, you know, that we've seen that, and I'm a skeptic about UFOs anyway, so it's like kind of funny about it.
Yeah,
so
they're the real deal.
And he did it, you know, he videoed it, and then it was like when we played it back, we didn't see nothing.
Great laugh. Tom, do you have a text for us?
Making me laugh. From Sammy in South Carolina. Sammy in South Carolina sends a text to you, George.
Sometimes when you start laughing, you can't stop. You know that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those are the greatest laughs.
Oh, yeah. He did have a really infectious laugh.
Yeah, he did. My God.
So this
normally
is,
I don't laugh on the air.
We're going to go a little more serious. I have a terrible fear of dying. I really need help. I'm not getting sleep. What can I do about this?
I got past that. I had the same feeling years ago.
You did.
And it comes down to one of two things. If you die and the other side does not exist, you're not going to know about it. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. If you do die and the other side exists, you're going to know about it. And have one heck of a run. So it's simple as that. Don't worry about it.
Maybe it's an actual fear of how.
Enjoy your life. You know, some of us who start getting up there in age, we're on the home stretch. You've been to a racetrack. I've taken you to a couple horse racetracks.
Oh, sure.
I taught you how to bet a trifecta, as a matter of fact. So how do you box a trifecta? You got four horses. How do you do it?
I got to practice. You know the language. You know the old school language.
You enjoy just hearing me.
But my generation doesn't bet like that anymore.
No, your generation doesn't go to racetracks anymore. They're casinos for all those people. But live every day like it's your last. And you then begin to not worry about dying because you're having a great run.
But did you worry how you were going to die?
No,
or just
no,
that you
never,
were die?
Never have I worried about how I'm going to die, whether I would die of a heart attack or get hit by a car. That never concerned me.
Would you want to know?
I just felt, and this is what scared me about dying at that time, that I never had gotten to a point where I completed what I wanted to complete. I still haven't, but I've done much more than I did 20 years ago. And now I'm at a point where I think, you know what? Good. But I live every day, not recklessly, but like it's my last, and I'm not afraid of anymore.
Would you want to know how you're going to die?
Yeah, I would, really? Because I try to avoid it or fix it. Could you change it? That's the question. And that'll be a great hotline one night, because we haven't had that many anonymous people calling with their true confessions.
Well, what are they going to do, confess in front of 3 million people?
Some people have. We've had a handful of them. Let's go east. Jonathan's with us. Welcome to the show. Jonathan, where are you? It's anonymous. How come?
George, I'm just going to have to remain anonymous, please.
Okay. No problem.
Hey, first of all, I would like to say that I would like to request a song, please.
Okay. Now, I can't do it tonight, but we'll put it on the list for you.
Okay. That was supposed to be my joke, but actually, and by God, you guys, and I, that's awesome that guy just called in about music, because I just remember a long time ago, like a few years ago, you had a great discussion with an open line caller just about music, and you guys had a fun time with that. But so I really wanted to call in about music, but you guys have opened my music library so much, and it's so awesome. I love all the music that you guys play.
What's your favorite song of all time?
I can't name that at all.
You can't or you won't?
I can't.
Oh, okay.
No, there's too many. What's yours?
Oh, my gosh. I'm like you. There's too many. Yeah. I like them all. I like almost all the bumper songs we play because they've all got a message and a mood and something like that.
Yes. Oh, I love all your bumper songs. Mostly all.
Okay. All right, great. Well, thanks for checking in with us. And we've got UFO Phil in the background, but it's not time for him yet. Let's go to Leo in Albuquerque, west of the Rockies. Hey, Leo. Go ahead.
And George.
Hi.
Listen, I wanted to ask you, you told a joke that was really cracked me up at the time, but for the life of me, I can't recall exactly how it went. But here's the premise. Basically, what it was, it involved a man who had passed away, and he was going up, for lack of a better way to put it, elevator style, and he comes in contact with St. Peter.
Oh, okay. Is this the one who was given an option of heaven or hell?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
And basically, he wanted to take a quick look at hell before he decided for sure.
That's right.
Can you tell that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to stay on the line? I'll tell it just to you, and everybody can listen in.
Tell everybody.
Okay. Well, I'll do that. I'll tell that joke again if you want. So, this guy dies, and he's in this elevator going up to heaven. Heaven actually had an elevator. The doors open, and there's St. Peter. Hey, come on in. So, look, this is, I'm going to show you around heaven, but before I do, I want you to look at hell. And then you decide where you want to stay. It's your choice. And the guy said, "Oh, St. Peter, come on, there's no need to go down there. I don't want anything to do with that. Let me in." He said, no, I really think you need to look at this first, then you make up your mind. So down goes the elevator, down it goes, and it opens up, and he's met by these gorgeous devil women. They've got tails and horns, but they're kind of cute. And they're holding a tray of champagne for the guy. And they says, "Here, come on in." And he comes through, and he's kind of dumbfounded. He meets Satan. And Satan shakes his hand and brings him in. And, you know, the guy who died, he was a politician. And so Satan shows him around. And, I mean, it's amazing. The food is great. The people are great. Music is fun. The environment is good. There is no fire and brimstone. And he says, "Now you got to go up to heaven and you got to make your choice." And the guy said, I think I'm going to stay. He said, "No, I'll go to heaven first." Well, he sends him up to heaven. And he sees people on clouds and harps. And he's bored out of his mind. And he goes, "This is it?" And St. Peter says, "It's tranquility. This is it." He says, "St. Peter, I hope you don't mind, but I want to go to hell." And so down the elevator, the politician goes. The doors open up on the bottom. The devil is there to greet him with the ugliest woman you've ever imagined. And they pull him in and they throw him into a vat of fire. He's screaming with everybody else. They're all screaming. He's going, what's happened to hell? What happened? He said, oh, that was just before the election. So I guess the moral of the story is a politician will tell you anything until he's elected. And then once he is, you're up a creek. I'm going to be running out of time here. I can't take any more calls because that joke went too long. Richard Serrett's going to be your special host on Saturday and Sunday. Double duty for him. George Knapp is going to be slowing down for a month or two. He'll still be doing shows, but he's finishing up on a book. And matter of fact, when he's done, I'm going to have him as a guest. That'll be fun. He's one heck of a guy. Then he'll get back into his routine and his schedule as well. And then we're going to start fresh for you on Monday with some great programs as we're leading into Halloween on October 30th. So get ready for that. And the staff is preparing a wonderful ghost-to-ghost show for you. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borrelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.